Okay, well, I've going to start off with a bunch of promises. So you have to see if this is something that you want to strive for or happen in your life. How would you like to walk down and be in the company of people and people see Christ in you? Would you like that? I mean, really, that they'd go, whoa, that guy's like Christ, or that woman's like Christ, or that child's like Christ. Yeah, wouldn't that be a good thing? How about if you would like to see your physical health improve?
Amen.
That's right. That's right. And the older we get, the more this becomes, you know, yeah. And how about your righteous lifestyle will be known? That you are a righteous person. That means that you, what you do in life is a righteous, is righteousness. Not just the righteousness of Christ. I'm talking about your actions in life. These are all promises from the portion of Scripture I'm going to go by here. And the glory of the Lord will follow after you. Now that's a bigger promise than you might know, because it actually speaks of when the children of Israel were going down and they were traveling and the enemies were after them, they wouldn't go for frontal assault. Okay, what they would do is they would get the people on the outer edges, right, and the ones that were in the rear, okay, if you want to call it the elderly or the weak, right, they would go after those, right? But the glory of the Lord would be your protecting your backside. How about that one? That's an accurate paraphrase there, but that you would be able to travel around and you wouldn't have to worry about what can sneak up and grab you or whatever it might be. Wouldn't that be something? Yeah, a lot of you women, I know people that are fearful of everything. I mean, they're fearful of this and fearful of that, but the glory of the Lord would actually be your protector from any attack that's coming from an off direction. Wouldn't that be a blessing? That's right. Yeah, your prayers would be answered. Well, that's good. You would be promoted before the people. Now, not in a prideful way, but God does raise them up and puts them down, right? And you would be promoted. You would have no fear of danger. You would have the continual guidance of the Lord. You will physically prosper. In other words, your bones would be strengthened, not just healthy, but you would be strong in your vitals, right? Your eye, whatever it might be. Need some healing here, huh? You will be physically prosper. Your children will serve the Lord. These are all in the text that I'm going to here. Your life would be a foundation for future generations. The promise is that your children will be the repairer of the breach, and your children would follow after you. Generations would follow after you. Now, wouldn't that be good? Now, I know with some of you, it might not be an age, right? You might not think that's a big thing. But there's nothing that gratifies me more to see my children following the Lord. And that's natural and spiritual. But also, I want to see my children's children. And it's been my prayer, and people that have prayed with me know that I pray for my children's children, that I want to see them in the Lord. It's mentioned in Scripture as a benefit to some of the Old Testament saints, that they saw their children's children in the Lord. And I'd like to see that also. So where are they? All right. Okay. We're 2/3 of the way there. Now, keep it going. Yeah. All right. Okay, so if you would open in your Bibles to the Old Testament, and if you'll go to Isaiah. And we're going to go to Isaiah 58. And people would only think that we're talking about fasting, but really the fasting is a subpoint, because the main theme that I'm trying to drive home, that it's our works that are show our faith. It's our works that really that God wants to see. He just doesn't want to see say that word for me. Professors. He wants to see those that possess the Lord and do a work for him to follow after, right? But it's really clarified in Isaiah 58. And it is under the topic of fasting. Now, I'm going to have to say something here, and I might mention it once or twice. It is not trying to tell you not to fast. And don't if you get that impression while I'm preaching, then I'm wrong. It is concerning fasting, but it gives you the prerequisites that God wants to see in a person's life before the fasting and prayer will be effective. I had people say, well, it's talking about the fasted life, so we don't have to fast. But really, that's cutting it a little bit short. It is talking about the prerequisites for then when you pray and fast, that God will hear you. And then all of those promises that I mentioned to you are given as a benefit for living this type of life. Now, I talked about fasting because I don't know, guys. Listen, you know the scripture says that we're supposed to bring our body under subjection, right? Really, it does. It says that we are to control our body, not let our body control us. And I'm going to have to encourage you. There's many that might have a problem with food. Now, I'm not talking about your weight, your size, or anything. I'm talking about the power that food has in your life. And you need to understand that you need to have this under control as an area of your life also. Because when you get older like me, if it's not, then you're going to know the physical results of that, right? It really comes and bites you. It can really, really hurt you. And I want to encourage you to, even in the area of your eating, because fasting is the denial of food, and during that time, that while you should be eating, you're dedicating yourself to the service of the Lord, or you're in prayer, or you're doing that. But if food has power over you, you'll never fast. You'll never fast because you'll say, man, I can't do that. But fasting is not only a benefit to you, but it helps your body, but it puts you in that you control this area of your life. And it'll be a blessing to you. I can promise you that. And so I'll say no more about that. But examine yourself in that area also. Okay? Now, look what it says with me. I'm going to expound on this just a little bit. They were doing it all wrong. So the first three verses is what not to do, right? It's sort of like saying, listen, this is what these guys were doing, right? He says, wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, the day of our fast, ye find pleasures and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Now, before I go any more, I'd like to pray with you, and because I want the Lord to really open up our ears in this, okay? So pray with me, please. Lord, this is a difficult subject because it has to do with the nourishment of our body, and you've given us food for that. And yet, Lord, even in this area, people fast for improper reasons. And Lord, here you've mentioned just a few. And I pray, Father, that you would open up our ears with the positive side of this, and that the blessings that we can claim and know that you have them out there for us. So bless us now and strengthen us. And Lord God, open up our ears that we may hear. I pray that none would be offended, or none would build a shield up so that the rest of the Word of God would not have or enter into the heart. But I pray, Father, that our ears would be open. Dear Holy Spirit, work in us today. Amen. They were fasting, as it says there, they were fasting so that almost like you would say, well, I'm going to fast and get God to answer my prayer. You know, like they were going to dictate to God through fasting. And not only were they going to try to do that, they were going to try to move God in this way. But they were doing it to say, well, I'm going to fast. You know, who could I say? Oh, you're not offended easily, are you? Okay, I'm going to fast so the Lord will chasten you or hurt you or something like that. They were for envy and for strife and for bitterness, you know, that was among. That's why they were fasting. And of course, the Lord just, you know, I don't know. Sometimes I think the Lord's in heaven, you know, and his head's just going, I can't believe these guys, man. You know, they haven't got it yet. You know, there's something wrong here. But that's what people have done in the past. Now, I encourage you over certain areas. I really do encourage you that, you know, there's this type that goes out not by prayer and fasting. But it has to be a proper fast, and it has to be a proper motivation, and it has to be a proper lifestyle behind it. Listen to what he has to say, okay? Is such a fast in verse 5 that I have chosen a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day of the Lord? That's a rhetorical question. The answer is no. See, what were the Pharisees doing in Jesus' time? Right, they were doing they might have fasted twice a week, and they would put chalk or, you know, coal on their face and make their jaws look sunken and, you know, and really put on the show, right? He said, no, that's not the fast that I'm looking for at all. He says, is it not this, the fast that I have chosen? Now, we're going to get into a positive side of this. To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that thou cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. That's an interesting phrase, turn of words there. Then shall thy light break forth. So we're going to go into that, but let's redo this. Here we are. We're going to trying to really to seek the Lord's face, and we are going to fast. We're going to deny ourselves food for the sake. And by the way, we talked as adults in 1 Corinthians 7. There are certain other things to do with fast and everything. But if you take this, you can fast, and you're going to do this, and there is a spiritual reason for it, and you do want to see the Lord work. Okay, isn't that why we fast, or is it just to go hungry? Now, really, I mean, even the lost world, they know the value of fasting physically. If you don't know about that, there's a lot of science out there, the value of fasting physically. Okay, it is very good for your body. But it isn't, but we're not doing it to doing this. We're trying to do this so that we would spend the time and seek the Lord's face. But he wants something from us beforehand. He wants us to be living a lifestyle so that he can hear all that we're saying and our prayers will be answered. See, if we're fasting for strife, if we're living in wickedness and everything, we can fast. And he said, this is not the fast that I want at all. He says, you're fasting for all the wrong reasons. You're fasting so that you may be heard before God. In other words, you're trying to manipulate God. But that isn't what he's talking about here. He's talking about that we need to, when we do fast, that we need to be living a lifestyle as Christians that is honoring unto him. And these are some of those prerequisites that here. There's more that are going to follow, but listen to him again. Loose the bands of wickedness. What is a band of wickedness? What would band be? Pastor, you just preached on it. I think you just looked it up a little while ago. Didn't you mention that? You don't remember it?
I don't remember, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you were talking about it. Yeah, he did. Yeah, it bands. It's a binding. It's something that has control of you, right? And so you're loosing the bands of wickedness, but not only in your own life. It actually talks about, remember what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with our interrelationship with other people here in its context, and even doing and being wicked towards other people. And so we need to understand that that's one of the things he's looking for as a lifestyle. Now, remember, I'm telling you, you know, you got to put off this and put on that. And we've mentioned all of these kind of things and this. But listen to this relationships that he's talking about here. To undo heavy burdens. Now, the undo heavy burdens and all the rest that follow actually have to be when Israelites would be poor. And so they would sell themselves as servants or slaves for certain amounts of years to people. And that you would call them a hireling then, or a servant, or something like that. And the people that had the money, they would oppress these people. Now, we have good examples of this. People working for many years for having their wages changed 10 times and all the rest of it. We have good examples of an oppressive type one. It was very common in their day. But think about it, the way that we exact what is owed to us or what we think is owed to us and put it in our own life to undo heavy burdens. In other words, when we see people that are under struggle or under bondage and things like that, that we would help undo that. We wouldn't add to their labors and add one more thing onto them. Really, we need to be careful of that. But he says to do this, to undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free. That's actually let them out of their contract a little bit early. It really relates to Jubilee year and the seventh year of release and stuff like that. They would manipulate things so that they would keep them longer, right? And it was just the wrong thing. It has to do, again, what we're doing with our brothers and sisters in Christ and with the lost and dying generation. But he talks about this, and then he says here that you break every yoke. And again, all of this is in connotation of putting heavy burdens and labors and exacting and expecting and demanding so much from everybody. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't demand or have expectations, but I am saying that sometimes we can be very oppressive, especially if we have authority. Now, I don't know if you have authority, parents. You do have authority before the Lord. Pastors have authority. We have authority at different works. We have many of us have authority over that, but we have to be careful of how we manage this and how what we do with the people. And then he says, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? Now, I'm not telling you to open up a food bank, okay? But I am trying to tell you that we need to be concerned with people that are less fortunate than ourselves. There's brothers and sisters, hurricane relief, right? I mean, they used to take up offerings in the different churches of Macedonia, and then when Jerusalem needed that money, they would take it, and they would take that money and give it to the needy saints in this area. It was a free will offering, but they were concerned because there was a starvation going on. This thing with everybody understands that Titus in 70 AD conquered, you know, and destroyed the temple, but they don't realize what went on before that, even before Titus rolled in there and all the persecution that was going on. And so we need to be concerned with other people, and that includes people that are just there, our fellow human beings. We don't need to be shut everything out. Now, like I said, I'm not saying to become a goodwill organization or lose the focus with the commission or anything else like that. But if we focus on the commission and everything that's over here, and if we forget to do what the other portions of Scripture say, then we need to really watch that. We need to be careful and help people that are needy. Now, do you know anybody that needs help? Listen, I'm going to tell on myself. There was a woman that I say this maybe every year, but it's because it made an impression on me. And I was in charge at Faith Baptist Church of helping benevolence, right? Benevolent, you know, the benevolent offering. Now, we don't give, we don't go ahead and just give cash to people, but we would go ahead and buy them food and, you know, that kind of stuff. And there was a saint that I'd have to tell you that I don't know if she knew how to rub two nickels together properly and come up with a dime, but that's not even the point. She had a need, and we fulfilled her need, and then a short time later, she came back with another need. And I told her no. I did. Now, I'm going to tell you this, and Brother Venturini would tell you, even as a pastor of Beaver Valley, he got frustrated at me one time. He frustrated me at one time because he brought this guy in that would want a handout, want a handout, want a handout. And he said, well, what should I do with this guy? I said, give him some more. And he shook his head, man. He's still frustrated over it. And the reason is that the Lord impressed me in this area here because I said no to this woman. And I thought I was so righteous and so justified. Really, I did. Yeah, she doesn't do it. She'll probably take that money on the street corner, that loaf of bread, and sell it and go, you know, buy gas or something. I don't know. You know, I don't know what I was thinking, you know, that kind of thing. But I was short. You know, I was curt. I was not benevolent at all. Like I said, it's not the first time. And I don't want to justify my actions in any way. So about 2 years later, I was reading the scripture, and I read the portion of the scripture that says, withhold not good to whom it is due. And the Spirit of God went and brought her, the whole image, right before my eyes. Really, I'm serious. Just as clear as bell. And I said, oh my. Oh my. Because see, we don't need to be hard in these areas, okay? Especially when we have it. We have such bounty. How many of us, really, we have freezers full of food, right? Matter of fact, some of us probably throw away more freezer burnt food than we want to admit. And really, we need to. Now, there's... undo the heavy burdens, let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? What is that? If we were to say, pastors, a qualification, what is that qualification? Given to what? Hospitality. That's right. Yeah. Given to hospitality. You say, oh man, you want me to bring all these people? I'm just saying that we have to listen to what is being said here. Isn't he talking about fasting? Isn't our subject about that he wanted to bless the people of Israel, but they were doing it all wrong? And so he says, is this not the fast that I have called for? In other words, he's telling them where the weak side is. And you say, yeah, but they're going to do this and do that. I'm just saying that we need to be benevolent in this, and we need to be given to hospitality. God has blessed us in this area, and we need to show ourselves a blessing. When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him. Now, literally, it's not talking, I have to say, you know, about just somebody laying there totally nude or something like that, but it's talking about people that are cold and they're hungry and everything, and what do we do? Now, really, seriously, haven't you done the same thing? Don't we think so many times, oh, they're probably drug addicts and they deserve it? Really? And we don't even think about it. You know, it's sort of like you go, phew. But it is what the scripture says. And it says that thou cover him and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Now that is taught. Remember the context that we're in here. It's actually talking about our close relations and our further relations out, that we ignore the problems within our own family. In other words, he's bringing it a little bit from general populace. Now he's bringing it to our extended family and our immediate family, that we need to be considerate of them and that we don't hide ourselves from them. And that means just this, like, okay, I don't know you. Now, it's not talking about somebody in overt sin, because somebody in overt sin, they need to be dealt with, and there's specific scripture on that. It is. And believe me, there are general scriptures. Okay, I got to teach a lesson here. Okay. There's general principles and then there's specific scripture, right? A general principle does not override a specific scripture on a subject. Okay? Now, it may modify it. It may put a hue to it. But when you have specific scripture, you have to be specific about it and follow after it. These are general guidelines. Okay? And so you follow him in a general way. And so it says here that thou cover him and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then the promises. Look at what he's trying to tell us. And it's convicting to me because I can be just as hard-nosed as anybody else. I can justify my action, I can justify my heart, I can justify my decisions in my mind, and I can say, oh, they're druggies, or oh, this, and oh, that, and they're never going to listen, nothing's ever going to change, and all this other stuff. But you know, that's not even the point, is it? Is it the point what they do with the blessing? Or is it the point what you do in your heart to give them a blessing? I believe that he's talking about your heart here. They're going to stand before the Lord, and you're going to find out here more about that tomorrow, themselves, right? And then we are. But look at the conditions that are there. Did you notice that even though it has concepts of the second half of the law, you know, the Ten Commandments, Commandment 5 through 10. It has elements of it. The law and the Ten Commandments weren't mentioned here, you know, like specifically, were they? The 320 other commands that they have in Scripture, it isn't mentioned here. It is talking about relationships, how we deal with people, our relatives, our friends, our extended family. And by the way, you could call your extended family your what? Your brothers and sisters in Christ. Hasn't that relationship changed? Do we hide ourselves from congregation members because we think they're getting their just desserts or something like that? Really, think about that. They are called brother and sister, are they not? Can't we make an application that this is speaking of that in our extended family, not just our flesh and blood? And it tells us about how we're treating one another and our attitude towards one another. And I know it'd be a little bit scary to bring some people. Listen, I can tell you, I've met some pretty scary people, haven't you? Really, and I'm not saying that you're supposed to make your house a drop-in center. with a door sign, shingle. Hey, come on in. Please take everything on. I'm not saying that. But can't you hear what the Lord is saying our hard attitude should be? Can't you see with the lost, with our extended family, with our children, with all this that is going on, that we are to have a benevolent and we're supposed to have a giving because God has blessed us so much? Then we're living that life. We have a soft heart. We are not legalistic in our way, but we are benevolent. We're caring about people, unless they're in college, and then you could eat all the popcorn that you want to, right? we're careful about this, and we're doing this. Then, when we fast and pray, that's what it says, you know. Look at that verse. In verse 8, what word does it start out with? Then. Not before then, but after, okay? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning. And that's your light. And thine health shall spring forth speedily. And thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rearward. That's how you pronounce that. And it's speaking of your hind guard, okay? Your protector in that against assault that you can't even see. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, which means to beg, which is the word for prayer, by the way. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. Now, wouldn't that be cool? really, think about this. You know, you're praying. Listen, I prayed and fasted before, and that thrilled my heart. He said, Lord, and he'd say, here I am. Wow. That's cool. Yeah, that'd be good. Okay. If thou take away from thee, in the midst of thee, the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and the speaking vanity. Take forth the yoke is, again, you're going to undo the burden. You're going to give them a break, right? The bondage and everything like that. The putting forth of the finger. You can see it, can't you? Right. Be the left hand, actually. And someday I'll explain that to you. Okay? Yeah. Okay. And you do that in the pointing out, and then read along with it, and the speaking of vanity. What's words of no profit, right? Just things that have no... And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and the darkness be as noonday. In other words, that things that even would intimidate you, it would be shining forth, and there would be nothing to be afraid of. It says, and the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought. In other words, when there's things happening, physical things around you in drought, right? And make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. and they shall be of thee. I'm sorry, let me reread that. I read it wrong. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the paths to dwell in. Now we know that this is primarily given in context to the nation of Israel. We know that. But think of what Israel was doing and how they were behaving, and I think we can make a pretty accurate application for ourselves. I really believe. I believe that Israel is given to us as an example of God dealing with his people and how they could be so stubborn and thick-headed and other things, and yet he was always giving them promises, always, always showing his grace towards them. And I believe we can make an application here. And so when we're going to go and we're going to pray and we're going to fast and we want to hear from the Lord, our lifestyle, not to manipulate God, so that God then can hear us and he will say, here I am. And I want to answer your prayer. And one of the reasons that so many times that Christians, why we are not hearing the prayer, is that we're so focused on other things and so much of the world. And then sometimes we get misfocused about our relationships with people. We care about people. Now, ultimately, we witness, right? For the glory of God. Isn't that the ultimate? It brings glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying that we care so much about humanity that we forget anything about that. But the reason that we care about souls. Because one day we know they're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And they're going to bow their knee, if they are lost, they're going to bow their knee, confess him as Lord and Savior, and the angels are going to take that person and they are going to cast them into the lake of fire. That's what's going to happen. Read Revelation. And you need to understand that. But we care about the souls of people. We don't want to see this happen to our children and to our friends and to society as general. But in our context, we go and we want to know how to have prayer and how to do things in accordance with God's will. And my emphasis for you tonight is so that you see that when you're saved, your works and your heart attitude are changed. And you care about people. It isn't that old drunk over there. I am so glad that people preach to me. It isn't about that. It isn't. You got to look through that to them because God cares for their soul. Now, he does. Jesus died for them also, you know. And we need to understand that. And when we show a hard-hearted attitude and we don't care about their suffering, when we don't care about what's going over in Israel, when we don't care about all the crime, all these countries, do you know what's going on in the world? That we lift up a prayer for them, that we would be willing and wanting to help them if we possibly can. But really, to bring it closer to home, there's all these people around us. Right? Yeah, you see them all the time, don't you? You see them, and don't they become just like non-people? Really, I mean, you see them, right? But you don't see them as a soul. They're like, they almost become like they're not human, you know? That's them, you know what I mean? And really, it happens that way. But don't you think that's the ones that he's talking about here? The ones that we try to ignore? Isn't that who he's talking about here? So I want to encourage you not only to be the soul winner, your church attendance, all of those things that are so right and righteous and good, but also keep in mind that souls are out there and we need to. God wants us to love these people and show Christ-like love to them. That even when the Lord, he did speak very forthright to sinners, didn't he? But he cared. And he talked to them. That woman at the well had a big history, didn't she? But she got saved that day. Would we have just walked past her? Said, oh, there's that working girl. No. I think we may have. We got to be careful. Watch your heart, okay? So our works need to be, after we are saved, God gives us a heart and compassion for people. And we care about the young ones, we care about the old ones, we care about those ones out on the street. And then we need to have a good work towards that. And what is the big deal if you take some of your bounty and give it to a person? Not asking, you know what I mean. You know, not trying to put a burden on them, not getting them to wash, you know, water your lawn or something, you know. But just that you show benevolence towards them. What do you think? Well, I think the Lord wants us with that kind of heart. As we stand, please. Pray with me. Pray with me and judge your own self. What's your heart attitude? Look at what the Lord said there. I think it's so clear. Heavenly Father, you know the hearts of everyone here. Lord, you know if we're hard-hearted. You know what we think about these situations. But I pray, Father, that we would have a heart and a love for people that not only that you had with Israel, but Lord, that you showed towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I pray, Father, that we would let you soften our heart, that as we sung earlier, that you would break our heart. And Lord, those faces that maybe we bypass so many times that we don't show ourselves kind to, Lord, that they would become real people and we would show ourselves and do the works that you want us to do. And Lord God, we are anxious to have you hear our prayer. So bless us now during this invitation time, and may you be glorified in it. Amen.